My name is Ken Erickson, Senior Vice President with Inform Economics out of Memphis, Tennessee.
Speaking today to the Export Exchange event taking place in Detroit, starting our session off, Ken, can you share a little bit more about some of the transportation and trade issues you'll be discussing?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Nicole. And today we're going to be talking a bit about the big picture of what's going on in freight in the United States right now, what's moving, what's not moving, what's happening with the different modes of transportation, rail, barge, truck, ocean freight rates, whether it's dry cargo, containerization. And we'll talk about infrastructure, because at the end of the day, we have to understand infrastructure because it's going to if it floats or it rolls, it's got to go over something or on something. And that's very important to what we're doing with our clients and what our clients are demanding. And especially in the political discussions today, infrastructure has been woefully invested into. And so we're going to hit that, but also talk a bit about the grain flow situation. Talk about where the production is and what it means this bit. We got to have something to move. We've got it this year. Now, can we move it is the question and where it needs to go.
As far as the big crops getting harvested, any kinks in the system or areas that are new to identify where that emerging export is?
Yeah, and looking at the crops right now, obviously we're a little bit behind, but I like to remind people, even if we're a little bit behind, 1 or 2 points behind, we're still harvesting more than we've ever had at this point, probably in history, just given the sheer yield and the area that we've got with the crops are coming off the fields today. From the standpoint of some challenges in the system, there's pockets of concerns, especially if harvest is a little bit later in some areas and equipment's been pre-positioned. You just can't levitate equipment from one place to another. To start up a train, to move a barge, it takes a lot of effort to reorganize and reshuffle the deck. And that's where one could get behind if you've got a big weather event, such as the PNW the last couple of weeks. They've had a lot of rain. The super typhoon that came through out of Asia did slow down things, and we saw that in the weekly export inspections yesterday. Those are some challenges in the system that are out there. And then anything that could show up, whether it's a labor issues or some sort of other natural disaster, or, you know, God forbid, a lock failure of some sorts, those are some things that we're watching. But right now, the system is geared to run and run strong.
When you talk to different countries as they're looking to import U.S. grains, what are they looking for assurances and some of the key factors for this week?
This week, they're looking for consistency. They want to see that the system's going to be running, that they'll be able to get the product, that they're going to be able to buy the grains and the ingredients that they need to have sustained life for critters and for humans. And so they're looking, is the system going to be reliable? And can we count on it that it's going to be there? We had a drought in 2012, and that, of course, impacted crops. But it also impacted river navigation, and the water levels were low. And the world heard that what they heard was that the system cannot move. It cannot handle the grain. And they went someplace else. They want to know if you're going to be consistent, you're going to have adequate service, we're going to keep coming there. Because at the end of the day, transportation is everything. It brings value to the commodities and to be consistent. That's one of the big things that they're looking for.
When you look at farmers, considering the current prices they're seeing during harvest, what's the murmurs in the field about exports and where that potential has to grow to improve the market?
Yeah, the farmers are certainly excited about the big export program. We got a record export program this year. I think it's around 5.4, 5.5 billion bushels all in of grains and soybeans. You put in their DDGs and soybean meal and other ingredients and products, it's even larger with an even greater record level. And with this fall, we're set up to have to do about between 150 and 180 million bushels of exports a week for the rest of October, November, December, going into January. The best we've ever done is 148 million on 1 week, and that was a year ago. So we've got a lot of ground to catch up here. The farmers are saying, look, we need more markets. We need opportunities. We need the access. We need a transportation infrastructure system that will deliver. Because if it can't deliver, here's the construct. If there's a transportation or infrastructure impediment, there's going to be less effective transport capacity. Less capacity means higher freight rates. Higher freight rates means lower returns to the farmer at the farm gate. Lower returns to the farmer at the farm gate means there's less investment in the community. It comes right back and hits everyone. So without investments in our infrastructure and transportation, the farmers really feel it. And penultimately, so does the communities that they live in.
When you look at WERDA legislation moving through, any hope there before the end of the year?
Yeah, after the elections, we'll get through that, obviously, with everyone out campaigning like crazy. Come back, there could be the potential for a lame duck opportunity here. You know, part of it is who's going to win. And where's that going to lie into opportunity there? I think there's enough inertia there that both the House and the Senate want to be able to move forward and see some investment here, try to make some changes to the formulas for funding of the different projects, especially around Olmstead. But I think we're going to have a tough battle here to try to get stuff going through. And there's so many other things coming in after the elections that the Congress is going to have to face. And this is, Ward is another one of those that is very important. And hopefully the industry's been getting some good work with working together to do that, both the ag and the towboat industry.
Identifying areas of need across the country in the transportation scene, where are we hurting the most? Where do we really need that investment?
Yeah, I have to start at the farm gate. If you can't get off the farm into your first position to unload your grain or get to a river location, a shuttle train facility, a crush operation, or a corn grind facility, if you can't get there with a fully loaded truck, because of some sort of bridge issue or some sort of road issue, that's that first line. And that was where the farmer really feels a double whammy. Not only do they see it in lower basis, but they see it in more truck trips. They have to spend more time on the road, and they're not making most efficient use of their assets and their equipment. Farmers are business people, and they've got assets that they've got to take care of and run. If they're not running them efficiently, they're not doing well. But it's getting beyond that. It's where's the need for more investment in the infrastructure, where railroads are. Railroads right now are not making a lot of money. And, you know, when we look at a year ago, there was a lot of talk about some merger and acquisition of the CP Rail wanting to buy the CSX, and they went and tried to buy the Norfolk Southern. And that didn't go anywhere. But the way the railroads are performing today, some of the metrics are not that great. And their investors are going to say, hey, where's the return here? And I think one of the things to watch out for, what could happen next? What kind of acquisition could come? Could it be more private? Could it be another mode of transportation, another industry that comes into a railroad? Or could it be another railroad going after another Class I railroad? There's a lot of pieces to that puzzle to try to put together. And I think lastly, of course, is with in two areas, is one, waterways. And it's our perpetual challenges with our locks and dams that are aged, that are asked to do more work than they've done in many years. And the grain harvest this year, starting back in the summer when we had record volume, or volumes we hadn't seen since 2001, on the river system all the way from Minneapolis, which we haven't seen in a while, we need a system that can withstand that volume and be active. It's not a matter of wrinkles. It's about full hip replacements we're talking about now. And then, of course, dredging, making sure ships can call on the U.S. and take on the full amount of grain and commodities that will allow them to be most efficient in the world, especially when we think about the work of the Panama Canal and other countries who've done some work to dredge their locations as well.
Ken, any last thoughts to leave us with?
Yeah, you know, if we are not going to keep up with some of our infrastructure, we just gave our competition a leg up. Our competition is spending a lot of time and effort and money investing in their infrastructure. In South America, I can tell you by just looking at what they're doing in northern Brazil, they're lowering the cost of transportation to be more competitive. They're expanding their area for production. If we're not going to keep investing in our system and we're not investing high enough, nor efficient enough, we're going to have challenges to really be a competitive long-term player in the market out here. The market wants us because we can produce. Our farmers are second to nobody, and they certainly are adapting the technology, the capability, the equipment, and investing in that. That investment should not go undone if we're not going to invest in our infrastructure. That's a very important part that we got to watch. And then, of course, the Panama Canal. With the Panama Canal, you've had the expansion opportunities there. We haven't seen many ships of grain go through the canal yet. I think there's only been one. Is the potential's there? But because you can shift more, you don't have to wait at the old locks. You have fewer days waiting to transit the old set of locks. But we're seeing this in the Pacific Northwest. I think this is my last story, and it's going to be my last slide for this event, is about infrastructure. In 2011, the Columbia River was dredged from 40 feet to 43 feet. And this is a story about people take advantage of infrastructure when it's performed. Immediately, the grain shippers, exporters, started loading ships heavier. And you can see it in the statistics as they've now gone from about under 60,000 tons to about 68,000 tons. You can see the volumes being loaded. But we're also seeing that in the Puget Sound, Seattle, Tacoma, where they have a lot of water to load very heavy. And they're now loading over 70,000 tons, partly because our buyers overseas have invested to have deeper dredging, more capability to bring in larger ships and to store more grain, because they see the efficiencies that come from that. People will take advantage of infrastructure when the infrastructure is available to be taken care of.